love you. Amen. Do y'all not love Pastor Joe? Amen. Can y'all give him a hand? Give him his wife a hand? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to give a little testimony before I get going, and then I'm going to deliver something I really, man, not very often, God gives me a word sometimes, and it just sticks with me in a season, and then sometimes God will just speak a word for a specific house, for a specific people, and I really believe that when I got asked to come and preach, God gave me a word for Cross Creek, and I want to give it to you today. But Cross Creek's been supporting us financially for about going on 3 to 4 years now, if not longer. And I just want to give y'all a little testimony and really kind of give you what you're sowing into. And a few months ago, I was at a camp meeting back in September. And we were just kind of there. And let me back up just a little bit, and then I'll get right into my preaching, okay? Y'all got time for a testimony? All right, so a few months ago, I was just in prayer. I'm getting a little bit older. I'm 42, but I'm 5. And I'm a 5-year-old in a 42-year-old body. But sometimes the body gets a little wore down. And for the past, I don't know, almost 15 years, I've been traveling. And a lot of times I'll stay in people's homes. I'll stay in people's houses. Or sometimes they'll bless us with a motel, and man, just in and out, in and out, in and out, and man, it just kind of gets tiresome. Well, I was just praying one day, and I was like, Lord, you know, I would love to just have my own home away from home somehow, and I don't know what would be best for me. I don't know. I don't really have a truck to pull a camper. I don't really want to go into debt. I don't want to do any crazy things. And so I'm just going to give it to you, and I just tell you this is my desire. I'd like an apartment on wheels that I could just go and have my bed, the picture of my family, and have a home away from home, because last year I preached 325 days away from home. And how many know that's an awesome thing? Amen? But it takes toll on you. Well, in September, I was at this camp meeting, and I was preaching. And this man walks up to me, and he said, Brother Sean, I've been kind of praying about something, and I need to talk to you about it. I said, sure. And he said, I was out in my field the other day, and I drove by this car dolly that I had. And I usually pull a car behind this Monaco Diplomat, 40-foot motor coach, and it's got one slide out. And he said, I just saw a picture of me giving it to you. Well, maybe that doesn't excite you, but that excites me. Wow, tough crowd over here. I'll talk to this section for just a minute. So you understand that I didn't pay a dime, and today I'm traveling to my first revival in a motor coach, debt-free, pulling a car behind me. See, that doesn't excite you either. I'll try out here in the vestibule. Somebody could get excited. Can y'all wave and say you're excited out there? Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but man, isn't that a testimony right there? Debt-free. Come on, how many know? And I just wanted to tell y'all that you've been sowing into our ministry, and I just wanted to tell you I appreciate you and thank you, and man, continue to pray for us. This is going to, I believe, really help me. There's nothing like feeling refreshed when you go in and do a revival, and I'm going to feel refreshed in my own bed. Amen. I got my wife right next to my nightstand, hallelujah, on the picture, and then she can come with me more often, hallelujah. Amen. So God, man, can y'all give God a praise for that? Hallelujah. Isn't God awesome? Amen. Man, I have a word for you. I really do. And I know we're Pentecostal, so you won't mind to stand up one more time. And lift your hands up towards the glory realm. And I'm going to deliver what I feel like the Lord has for me to give to you today. And I hope your hearts and your ears are open to receive. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, I thank you for your kindness and grace. And I thank you that your word would speak in this place. God, you would change us, mold us, and move us and shape us. And we give you the thanks and praise for it. And everybody said amen and amen. Clap your hands if God's been good to you. Amen. God has been good to you. Amen. You can be seated just for a minute. Listen, I got the microphone right here at 37 after, so I'm not going to try to keep you longer than 40 minutes, all right? Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to go fast with my scriptures, and then I really want to say some things that I really believe this is to every heart, every mind, and every family, and I want to give this word to you today, all right? Here it goes, Matthew chapter 3. Let's start in verse number 1. In those days, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." He said, "Make his paths straight." The same John and his remnant of camel's hair and a leather girded about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I want you to underline those words in just a minute. That's going to be very important. His meat or diet was locusts and wild honey. Then he went out of Jerusalem and all of Judea and the region round about him unto Jordan. Now keep your fingers right there, and I'm going to read you two scriptures. I think they've got them. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 3. I want you guys to recognize this real fast as we read this together. Exodus 16 and verse number 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread of the fool, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." That's going to be really important in just a minute. And then one more verse. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 8. I'm going to read this one. "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and with honey." Amen. I want to preach a word to you today. Prophetic diet. We are a prophetic people. We are a faith-filled people. And right now, I don't know about anybody else, but there are days that it is hard to keep my faith high. Anybody been there? I mean, if you look at the world right now, it looks like there's disaster on every side. You don't even have to have a personal problem to look around and feel frustration on every level. From television to news to everything, I've had to completely shut myself off from any news at all because I get so discouraged. You hear one negative report, and then before long, it just seems like you're about to die. Everybody you know is about to die. Everybody around you is not going to have any money. The world is going to fall apart, and there's no hope at all. Anybody ever felt like that before? I know you don't have to lie. You can be honest in church. It's okay. And I am telling you that I have been in a season, and I have had a hard time at times keeping my faith high. I've walked in, laid my hands on people, prayed for them, watched them get a miracle, still hurting in my body, go back to my room and wonder, "God, why are you doing it for them but not for me?" Anybody ever been there before? And it's amazing to me that us as a generation right now, we know the answers. We know the power that God has. And we know that what God is doing, but it seems like it just isn't happening for me. It just isn't happening for my family. It just isn't happening for families around me. And I mean, I've had great pastor friends die of COVID. I mean, great men of God that I know that are honest and full of integrity. And I'm like, "God, what are you doing?" You know, you're taking out generals and men of God and women of God of faith. And I'm sure you know people that have died of COVID. I know there's financial struggles and turmoils on every side. Well, I got to looking at this story, and right before John the Baptist speaks, there is 430 years of complete silence from God. Right before John the Baptist steps out, the last chapter you hear from God was in Malachi, and his last cry was, he said, "I want the hearts of men to turn to their fathers, and I want the fathers to turn their hearts to their sons, and their sons to the hearts of their fathers." 430 years of silence, nothing is spoken, nothing is being said, nothing is being told. God is complete and utter silent to the body of Christ. Anybody ever feel he's just silent? I'm going to get to preaching in just a minute, but you got to let this marinate. I praise he's silent. I pray he's silent. I go to his word and I want to be fed, but it feels like sometimes I just can't hear him quite as much as I want to. I want to hear him. I want to know his voice. I want to live in his precepts. And I want to live in his concepts. But it's like the more that I stand upon his word, the more that I try to hear him, it's like the silence keeps getting deafening and deafening and deafening.
So all of a sudden we see that right now there's a season when John steps out. There's no hope in this season. There's no desolation. As a matter of fact, you now find him preaching in the wilderness. Anybody ever feel like you're in the wilderness season? The wilderness is what? The wilderness is the lonely place. The wilderness is the desolate place. The wilderness is the solitary place. That's where no matter how far you reach, you can't find friends. No matter, sometimes you got more enemies than you do friends. No matter what you do, it seems like you're in the wilderness all the time. You want things to be good, but you're lonely. God is silent. There's no one there. You feel like water's not flowing. You feel like the Holy Ghost isn't moving. You see God doing things for other people, but it seems like sometimes in your house you're stuck in the wilderness. But watch what happens. Where's he preaching at? He's preaching in Judea, or another Hebrew word is Judah. Can I tell you what the Lord spoke to me? He said there's going to be a moment that where your wilderness and your praise are going to connect. Come on. There is a moment that your wilderness and your praise is going to connect. You don't need to be worried about your wilderness as much as you need to be worried about your praise. Because if you can praise him, praise will overshadow you in the wilderness. Praise will overtake the loneliness in the wilderness. Your praise to God sets you apart from everybody else around. I want somebody in this room to clap your hands and give God a praise and let him know, even though in my wilderness, you are still worthy of my praise. Somebody would give the Lord a praise. He's still good. He's still awesome. Sometimes your wilderness and your praise just have to connect. See, sometimes we get so lost in the wilderness that we stop praising. We get so lost in the wilderness that we stop thinking about God. We focus so much on the pain and we forget about our praise. But if we could ever get our praise and our wilderness to connect, everything in that dimension would begin to change. So there's a place of praise. There's a place of honor. There's a place of worship. Praise will meet you in the lonely place. Praise will meet you in the desolate place. Praise will meet you in that solitary place. Praise will be the place that you find God in the season that feels wasted. Huh? Come on, when it feels wasted, you can find God. When there's no hope, you can find God. When there's no place, nothing's growing, you can find God. As long as you've got God, you can start over again. Let me say it to you. As long as you've got God, you can start over again. The bottom might drop out, but God is still God. He's still a good God. He saved you, sanctified you, filled you with the Holy Ghost. He wrote your names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. If that's the God that you serve, you ought to praise him because you're coming out of the wasted place in Jesus' name. Now listen to me. We need a diet change. We need to step out of doubt and begin to step into faith. Right? We need to step out of the me syndrome and start stepping into the kingdom syndrome. I believe the church has a me vision, but they don't have a king's vision. Depending on you over here. You're my closers. Sometimes we have to understand that we got to get out of the me center and get in the king center. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now watch this. We've got to get out of weariness and we've got to start walking in strength. There is nothing like a weak Christian. Huh? They can't praise. They're always whining, never smile, always me, my mess. Look at how bad I am. And I'm talking to every single person, including me in this room. We have a me syndrome. And we have to understand that God is not a me view. God is a kingdom view. God is worried about souls. God is worried about miracles. God is worried about the miraculous. And he's worried about you. But sometimes you got to step out of you so God can see somebody else. Oh man, are y'all here today? I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Watch this. 430 years, God's message was this. It's time for you to be significant. You got to know who I am, right? So what happens here? John the Baptist shows up. Let's take a view of John the Baptist here. He steps out and he's preaching in camel's hair. The first messenger that God sends is a wild man living in the mountains, and he steps out wearing a kingly garment like camel's hair. Oh, yeah. This is going to get deep today. Huh? Camel's hair. You know what camel's hair means in the Hebrew? These are the definitions. It means the set apart one. It means a king's house. It showed an anointing upon that person from a king's house. Can I tell you that God has called you in this season to step out of the wilderness and become significantly different, because you are anointed. You are chosen. You are a son of the living God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are not weak. You are not broken. You are not downtrodden. You are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody say, I'm about to put on my camel hair. Oh, I don't like this message. Good, you're the one I'm preaching to. Have a nice day. Watch this now. Camel's hair also signified this: God's voice again on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you are God's voice on the earth. Come on, when you speak to things, things change. When you speak to atmospheres, atmospheres change. When you walk into Walmart, he walks in with you. When you walk into the doctor's office, he walks in with you. He's not coming and going and going and coming. As a matter of fact, 1 John says that he does not depart. He is right here in your belly button by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The devil trembles when you wake up. He trembles when you go to bed. He trembles when you lift your hands. He trembles when you shout unto God, because you got the Holy Ghost. My goodness gracious. Somebody let the devil know, I'm stepping out into my kingdom appointment with camel's hair. Oh man, I'm feeling good today. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. God's will is for you to be set apart. I know that we don't like to hear this, and I know it's not a popular message right now, but there should be something distinctively different about the way that you're living according to everybody else around you. I know it's not popular. We want grace, 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 grace. And I'm all about God's grace. Listen to this verse, though. I will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly before me. If something isn't working out, the seeking part must be going wrong. It is not on God. It is on other people and sometimes your bad decisions. But God is not the guilty party. You can't eat 700 Big Macs and expect to have clean arteries. That is not God's fault. That's stupidity. And you just can't fix stupid. You can't do it, bro. You can't do it, Pastor Joe. You can't do it. I love people, but sometimes stupidity kills us, not God. Sometimes we're reaping harvest of horrible seeds that we sowed 10 years ago. You want everybody to be your friend? Well, quit being nasty. You might have a friend once in a while. Not so much over here, but I am telling you, man, this section's really got to do some work over here. Come on, you got to get your section on board here, Pastor. Now watch this now. Now watch this. There's something that should be significant about you. Listen to me. There must not be compromise, but conformity. You must conform to God's word. It doesn't conform to you. You conform to it. Come on, right? You don't tell the word of God to work for you. Come on, you work for the word of God. When you put yourself in the right position, God does his part through his word. You can't, man, have you ever noticed in Mark 11, 23 and 24, man, they love to shout that verse. Oh, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe them and you shall receive them. Whoa! Yeah, that's what God said. And then it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he say. Woo! We're kingdom people of faith right there. Right? You forgot to read verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught, or in other words, if you can't walk in forgiveness, God can't answer your prayers. Man, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. We want the miracles of God. We just don't want to forgive anybody. We want the blessings of God. We just want to be bitter at everybody for 25 years. It is not on God, church. There should be something different about our actions. Notice the words out of John's mouth. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or in other words, repentance doesn't just mean fix your sin. It means also fix your mindset. If you're thinking like a peasant, you'll live like a peasant. If you're thinking like you're sick, you'll live sick. If you're thinking like you're broke, you'll live broke. If you're thinking weak, you'll be weak. Oh, but if you can think like the King of Kings, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There ain't no sickness in heaven. There ain't going to be sickness on you in Jesus' name. There ain't no death in heaven. There'll not be another death partaking of your family in Jesus' name. There's restoration in heaven. There will be restoration in your family on the earth. Somebody get your faith up and let the devil know I'm coming after you and I'm going to devour everything that you're stealing from me in Jesus' name. Watch this now. The Bible said he was wearing camel's hair and then he said he wore a girdle. Let me tell you what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. It's time for my people to hold the line. The word represent, the girdle represents the word, the truth. Why is it we're so easy to believe everything else and everybody else but that book? Come on, we've trained ourselves to it. Fox News, we believe it. Newsmax, we believe it. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter who's talking, we just believe it because, oh man, if he said it, it must be so. No. Nothing's finished till God says it's over. Nothing's finished till God, come on, how many know God? Listen, now right now, there's some stuff happening on the earth prophetically, but I am telling you, there is still a kingdom people, there is still a body of Christ that believe in this book, and this book is still the number one selling book in the entire world. This book has divided nations. This book has moved mountains. This book has destroyed kingdoms. Man, are you hearing me? Is anybody in love with the Word of God like I am? I'm telling you, there's nothing like this book. I love this book right now more than I love any other book. Huh? I have a love-hate relationship with this book. There's days I love it, and there's days I hate it. It challenges every concept in my brain. It challenges, come on, what do you mean I got to honor my parents? My parents are acting a fool. Half my parents don't even pay tithe. See, no. This horrible section over here. I'm going to stay right over here and just preach to you. Right? We used to love this book. We used to love coming to church. We used to love being with God's people. And I understand COVID has set some setbacks, but I'm going to tell you, there's still something about coming to this local house with this local body and that man of God imparting to something to us every single week that we cannot get anywhere else. There is something about a local body coming together. For if one could take 1,000, two could take 10,000, three could take 100,000. Man, are you the people of God this morning? If you are, let the devil hear you. I'm coming after everything you've taken from me. Now watch this now. Stand firm on what is right. There's going to be some people that are going to live wrong. You're going to have to stand right. I know it. It's not popular. It's not popular. Because everybody is, you know, you got Snoop Dogg writing cuss words in every other line. You know, F-bomb this, F-bomb that. And then they get up there and say, well, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord didn't help you. You had the right money and the right producer. He didn't help you. You're just flowing with what everybody wants to hear. But I'm going to tell you, when I look at Sister Campbell, I don't have to wonder where she stands. I know she stands with the Word of God. Why? Because every time I bring my daughter into her office, before we get started, before we leave, she starts with a prayer. She ends with a prayer. She starts it with God. She ends it with God. Come on. You don't have to wonder which side of the line she stands. Holy Ghost this morning. Somebody ought to give God. Matter of fact, just stand up and give him a praise and thank him. We're not backing up. We're not giving in. We're going to hold the line. We're going to stand on the word. We're going to believe what God says. We're going to do something prophetically today. Be seated just for a minute. Got to get y'all out of your comfort zones here. Something happened significantly that the Lord showed me here. Notice what John the Baptist begins to eat. The first thing he eats was locusts. You go back to the story of the children of Israel. They're in the land of Egypt, and 10 plagues devour everything in the land except Goshen. 430 years of silence. John the Baptist steps out and he gives a prophetic indication of what's getting ready to happen. Oh, I feel the prophetic flowing right now. He takes the locusts And the Bible said that's his meat. Oh, and let me, can I, are you ready for a prophetic word? The Lord said, this is exactly what I'm getting ready to do for my people. He said, as they eat the locusts, I'm going to devour what's been devouring them. I'm going to devour, everything the devil took from you, God's about to devour it, because a prophetic indication is God's going to be an enemy to your enemies. I'm going to be an enemy that's trying to hold back your family. I'm going to be an enemy that's trying to stop you from getting your healing. I'm going to be an enemy to every demonic force that is coming against you, and everything that's been devouring you, I'm about to devour it. He gives a prophetic indication. I wonder that day, does he have a little hesitancy? They're going to think I'm crazy. Faith only makes you look insane for about 30 seconds before God moves. And then it's a miracle. Because a miracle is supernatural indication of God doing something you cannot do. Oh, man. He steps out by faith and grabs the locust. He says, ladies and gentlemen, this is our diet. We're going to watch God devour the plagues that devoured our people. We're going to watch God. You understand who John the Baptist is getting ready to signify, right? Just a few chapters later, Jesus shows up. He baptizes. Come on. We're talking about in other words, devil, you tried to stop Jesus from coming, but Jesus is going to devour you. You're going to try to stop the... real good this morning. Listen to me now. We have got to get to a place that we're prophetically by faith grabbing some locusts, eating them, and telling the devil, no more. I'm going to let God devour what's been devouring me. He steps out with a prophetic indication. Oh, I bet that day he didn't feel like it. I bet that day he didn't even want to. They're going to think I'm crazy. But I think it was a prophetic indicator. God's about to storm the gates of what's been storming you. God's about to plague what's been plaguing you. God's about to devour what's been devouring you. God's about to take up arms and battle what's been battling you. Oh, man, does anybody feel some hope rising in this room? Just say it right now. God's about to battle what's been battling me in Jesus' name. I declare in Jesus' name, this is going to be the best end of the year that you've ever had. I declare in Jesus' name, your family will be restored in Jesus' name. I declare that this will be the greatest blessing of your life. The enemy is being devoured because of the anointing upon Jesus' life. And then here's the second thing. He begins to eat the honey. Let me tell you what he was saying there. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever just stopped to think about something? We focus so much on curses. We don't even remember the blessings. Could you imagine if God's people, I'm telling you right now, the enemy's just trying to put a curse on me and my family. That's a bunch of hogwash. He can't curse what God has blessed. I said he can't curse what God has blessed. I said he can't curse what God has blessed. I decree he cannot curse what God has blessed. Here's what John the Baptist said. I'm going to put some honey on the locust. Or in other words, we're going to step into the milk and honey that God has already promised us. I don't think it's God at all. Listen to me. Don't get mad here. I'm just giving you a little thought to think about. Maybe we get so used to the locusts, we don't even care what the honey tastes like. I mean, we feel like I can Tina Turner. Go ahead and hit me again. I can this time put some stank on it. Hit me again. It's what I'm used to. I think we get so used to pain, we don't know how to live without it. And John is saying, devour what's devouring you, but put some sweetness on it. And let God say, I've got a land already. It's flowing with milk and honey. If you'll just let me give you the sweetness, I've already put it there for you. We see it all through the book of the Bible. Joshua and Caleb come back. Woo, man. We're going to go over there with them giants. Then we got 10 people. We got Sean back there. We got Dean over there. We got the doubters in the room. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. Them giants are looking pretty big. I don't know if we can go over there. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you right now. I know you guys are looking at them giants, but have you seen the size of them grapes? Them giants, man. I wish y'all hear what I'm saying. I got to thinking about this, Pastor Joe. This is my ADHD right here, right? Watch this now. I got to thinking about if giants lived in that land, right? If giants lived there, that means they had to have giant-sized houses, giant-sized refrigerators, giant-sized gardens, giant-sized beds. Baby, we're not moving into some valley in the little corner in the valley below. We're living into a giant's mansion because God said that land is mine. Enemy, you've been possessing territory, but that territory is mine in Jesus' name. Five things John the Baptist knew. Six things I'm going to give you. Ready? First, here's the first one John was doing with the locust and the honey. First one, he was signifying there's about to be a season change. I hate winter. Sean loves it. The other half of the S&S Express. He just so big, you know, he gets to be... sweats walking across the room. You know what I'm talking about? I got, he's out there with shorts and a t-shirt and it's 10 degrees and I got 10 layers of clothes on and long johns and everything else and I'm just trying to, you know, waddle around and keep up with him. You know what I'm saying? I hate the winter. I like summertime. And I prophesy to you and tell you your winter season is coming to an end in Jesus' name. And you're about to step into spring and fall in the Spirit. Man, I wish somebody would grab a hold of what I'm saying. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost today. There's a season change. There's a season change. There's a season change. You can't make this stuff up.
You ain't moving me, Brother Sean.
Good, I don't want to move you. I don't want to. I'll just preach to the ones that want to hear it. Here's the second thing. He said there's about to be a time change. Season, time, and harvest. I hear these words, prophetic acceleration. What you mean? Remember when Jesus showed up? Now, I did some research. Did you know that it takes a good 12 to 15 years to make a good aged bottle of wine? I don't drink, but I'm just letting you know. It's what the experts say. Jesus made an aged 12 to 15 year bottle of wine in a matter of minutes. Bring me some pots. Come on, somebody. Bring me some pots. And then what happens? He turned the water into wine in a matter of seconds. And the Bible said that the king came out and said, this is the best wine. They usually put the best wine out first, but you brought it out last. Jesus took a 15-year process and turned it into a minute. I declare over you, prophetic acceleration is about to come. And what's going to take you 5 years? God's going to do it in a day. What took you 10 years? You hear me? Somebody let your faith grab a hold of what God's saying. Here's the next thing that John the Baptist did. He released a sound change. Did you know? Now, I'm a supernatural man. I believe in supernatural God with supernatural miracles. But you cannot deny the fact that God did some crazy things on this earth. One of the things that they teach you is that everything in your body has a frequency. They say that if you stand on the ground barefooted for 10 minutes, inflammation is decreased by 3%. They call it grounding. Is it possible that our ears are just tuned into the wrong frequency right now? And we need a sound change. Come on, we've heard death. We've heard destruction. We've heard poverty. We've heard illness. We've heard sickness. We've heard disease. But I believe we're going to hear a sound of faith. We're going to hear a sound of liberty. We're going to hear the sound of the oil. We're going to hear the sound of God's glory. We're going to hear the sound of God's people praising God in one mind and in one accord. We're going to hear a sound out of heaven. God's about to release a new sound. And it's not the devil's sound. It's not the world's sound. It's the king's sound. We're about to hear a sound that's going to bring a frequency that's going to change the destiny of mankind upon the earth. There's still hope for America in Jesus' name. There's still revival for America in Jesus' name. And God is coming back after the church, not a weak, broken, frail body. Huh? The next thing we need is a voice change. We need some men of God like Pastor Joe that will teach us the concepts and the truth of the Word of God. We don't need opinions. We don't need doctrinal theology. We just need the right voice at the right time in the right season. One word from God can change your life. Here's the next thing John did. He changed the atmosphere. There's something about you when you open up your mouth and you decree the word of God. You set precedence in the atmosphere. Well, I've tried it. Do it again. Yeah, but Brother Sean, I've been doing it for 6 years. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. You don't understand. I feel like God ain't answering my prayer. You got two choices. Serve God or don't. Speak the word of God or don't. Live for God or don't. But you've got a choice to make. Pastor Joe can't go to heaven for you. He's not going to answer at God's judgment throne for you. Come on. Listen. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, if the devil's hitting you, smack him back. Huh? Smack him back. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You might be winning right now, but any moment there's going to be a momentum shift and God's about to change the atmosphere. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. I am blessed coming in and I am blessed going out. I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the... Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Speak his word and change your atmosphere. You don't like... Listen, if you don't like it, change it. Ain't nothing wrong with listening to, you know, some good music every now and then. I love Journey, man. When you love a woman, right? Love the old Journey. But if all I listen to is Journey in my prayer room, there's not going to be the right atmosphere there. If you don't like your atmosphere, change it. God, now this one's on you, man. This one's on you. Maybe it's time we start looking this way and start looking this way. God is not our problem. He's our solution. God is not our deficit. He is our answer. But if you're always looking up there, he's in here. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Sean, I'm telling you, I prayed. So you're just going to quit now? You're just going to quit? They asked the man of God. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if I named this man of God, you would know him, and I'm not here to exploit that, but you think about this. This is a famous man of God. We're talking, he's preached to hundreds of thousands at a time. They asked him one day about his ministry. They said, sir, we noticed that in your early days, you would lay hands on people, you would pray for them, and now, all of a sudden, you don't do that anymore. Do you know what his answer was? It shocked me beyond, and it rocked me to my core. He said, when I got tired of praying for people and them leaving not healed. What if they go home and they get it? What if three months from that day they get it? So we just quit praying now because we don't see with our natural eye what we think we ought to see? Then we're no people of faith at all. We're people of physical attributes. Heaven help us, Doc. We never look upon a human emotion, but we look into the spirit of a man. Huh? Help us that we never look into a human situation, but we look with the power of God. I don't see what man's doing, but I can see what God can do. I don't look what people are doing, but I know what God can do. I've seen him do it. I've watched him do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I refuse to let go until he answers my prayer. I'll die praying before I give up quitting. Oh man, that's a tweet right there if I ever heard one. I'll die praying before I ever quit giving up. Last two. Then he created a righteousness change. If living right doesn't count for something, then why are we doing it? Listen to my question. If living right doesn't really matter, then why do it? Why forgive? Why not just be mad and angry at your wife for the next 20 years? If living right doesn't matter, And God, you know, it's by God's grace. And understand, there's nobody that believes in God's grace more than me. But if you absolutely think that you're serving God and there's nothing required out of you, you're a fool. Tithing requires something from me. It requires the hand of the blessing of God. It requires trust. When I come and I trust God that when I lay my tent at His feet, He promises to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to me that I cannot contain. And then He'll rebuke the devourer for my name's sake. But God just doesn't do that without the requirement that's upon me. I'm not talking about owing God. I'm not talking about that you got to come and get. I'm not talking about that. It's a privilege to tithe. Right? But it's a requirement for the heavens to open up. Listen now, is it not? It's a requirement. Melchizedek tithe. Right? Okay. You don't agree. Don't agree with the tithe. How about this? How can I get forgiveness if I do not forgive? Forgive man of their trespasses, for if you don't, I can't forgive you of yours. There's some things that God requires out of us. Honor your wife as Christ loved the church. Come on, she's not a dog, she's your wife. Wives, you're to honor your husbands. There's some things required from us. I lost you, did I? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Because I believe that just because we know that God is all-powerful and God is all-knowing does not mean that we do not have to keep putting ourselves in the proper positions to be in alignment for what God wants to do. If I've learned anything from Pastor Joe Campbell, I've learned this. Everything we have to grab a hold of lies within the precepts of this book. It doesn't rely on our feelings. It doesn't rely on our emotions. That's why I love Pastor Joe, because he looks, and he's really not, but he looks so emotionless. He looks like he's so undeterred, and he is, because he knows that if he looks to the left or he looks to the right, the Word of God will not work for him. But I thank God for a man that will stay steadfast and not be moved by emotion or be moved by physical circumstance, but he'll only be moved by the precept of what God's Word says. If I've learned anything from Pastor Joe, I've learned that. Don't look at the situation, but look at his Word. It's in his teachings. It's in his vocabulary. It's in his speech. It's in his introductions. It's every fiber of his being, because he knows without the Word of God, there's nothing that can change. And last but not least, he made an eternal change. Don't think that everything you're doing has to do with right now, because it doesn't. It doesn't just have to do with right now. Jordan, when you're up there playing those drums, when you're up there praising God, I watch you, man. You got your eyes closed and you're focused. Every time you're praising God, would it be hard for you to pop up Psalms 102 and verse 18? Can you pop that script? If there's ever a verse in the Bible that has got to be my favorite verse, it's this verse right here. You got to love it. I can quote it to you. For this shall be written, for a generation to come that is yet to be created may praise the Lord. Or in other words, every time Jordan is up here praising God and he's worshiping God, his children have a chance to serve God. His grandchildren have a chance to serve God. His great-great-grandchildren have a... You're not just praising God for you. You're praising God for generations to come, that if you ever leave and Jesus does not return before you're dead, your children have a chance because you praise God. Eternal change. Eternal change. You're doing it not just for you, but you're doing it for every generation that's connected to you. Your son and daughter have a chance. My kids have a chance. Come on, your grandchildren soon to be have a chance. Right? Come on, Sean's new grandson's got a chance now. Every time he gets up there and worships, come on, hell can't stop what Sean's doing. Why? Because he's not just doing it for the now. He's doing it for the future generations to come behind him. Man, this is good stuff. What do you guys want? I'm giving you CPR. I mean, almost, it looks like rigor mortis is almost set in here. Don't just think, respond to the thoughts. This is an action. It isn't just thinking, it's an action. Grab a hold of it. Grab it in heaven and bring it down. It's mine. It's mine. Eternal change. I love, and I do, and I'm not just bragging on them, but I've learned so much from my youth pastor here, and I watch them. We used to have that room upstairs, and I'm closing as Sean comes. Pastor Sean, excuse me. Man, we were so loud up there. It was so loud. I mean, it got so loud, Brother Joe got out a decimal reader. You know what I'm saying? It's like checking the room. But I noticed something. He never turned it down. He just played earplugs in. And he let the kids worship. Now listen to me. Because he knew it wasn't just about the moment. It was about the generations. He was letting partake of the glory of God. Because it doesn't have to do with right now. It has to do with everything that's connected to us in the spirit world for eternity. Would you stand with me this morning? I challenge you today to eat the locust prophetically, smother it in honey, and step into the blessings and the goodnesses of God. He's already redeemed you from the curse of the law. The devil cannot curse what God has blessed. He might create some delays, and he might create some storms and some havoc. But man, if we could just grab a hold of the honey and we could devour what's been trying to devour us, oh, I believe things would drastically change. I believe things would drastically move in the right momentum. We would be shifted into another dimension of faith. You've got to eat the honey, mama. Quit focusing on the locust and start eating the honey. Because God has better for you than your last. What God's doing tomorrow will be better than yesterday. And what God was doing tomorrow will be better than right now. But if you continue to focus on the locust, you'll never focus on the honey. And I'm telling you, John was saying, please just devour what's been devouring you. How do you devour it? By praising him, by honoring him, by trusting him. I feel the goodness of God here today. Listen to me, there's a fragrance here this morning. There's a fragrance here. How many of you want to partake of the honey today? I want to devour the locust and I want to eat the honey. I'm going to raise your hands. I want to devour the locust and I want to eat the honey. I know this is COVID, and I don't know what kind of protocols that you guys have, but is it okay if they come up here? Do they need to, however you want to do it? But listen, if you had your hands raised, I want you to just come. I'm not going to get in your face. I'm not going to get near you. I'm just going to let you come. I'm going to make you stand across here, and you're going to do your own bidding this morning. Come on. Come on. If you had your hands raised, I want you to meet me down here this morning quickly. Come on. If you had your hands raised. Come on. That's it. Come on, just lift up your hands toward heaven. Come on, just begin to praise him, begin to honor him, begin to worship him. Come on, just right now. Come on, just a couple of minutes of praise, and then we're going to do something significant here. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, lift up your hands, lift up your hearts, lift up your voices, and begin to just praise the Lord. Re mando robo shete re manda rabasata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I just prophesy right now. I just prophesy right now. I declare, I'm praying for you, ma'am, right here. Just look at me. Right now, I don't want to get close. I don't want anybody to be offended or anything like that. Father, I decree and declare right now that the Spirit of the living God will be upon her, would be strength. There it is right there. The honey. Not the locust, the honey. Not the locust, but the honey. Man, I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing. It's flowing right here. All right, everybody look up at me now. I want you to just take a piece of locust in the spirit right now. I know it's going to be, listen, Pastor Joe, I'm following your instruction. We're going to do something a little crazy. I'm just going to obey God. You got a piece of locust. Out of your mouth, say, devil, God's devouring what you've been devouring. And I'm stepping in to the blessings of God this day. In Jesus' name. Now just put it in your mouth. Woo! 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 Did you feel that? Oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, you're devouring what? Come on, just give God a praise. I'm devouring what the enemy's been devouring. I'm eating up what the enemy's been eating. Now just praise him. Oh, my enemies are below my feet today. My enemies are below my feet today. I'm eating the honey. I'm eating the locusts. I'm stepping into a season of new. The atmospheres are changing. The voices are changing. Oh, come on. As Sean leads us into a praise, then the next voice you'll hear is Pastor Joe. But let's just praise out today. Let's just praise out. Come on. You know, it's already done now. You did it prophetically. You gave a prophetic sign. It's over. This new season's coming. I just praise him as Sean sings.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who's called me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Unending love, amazing. Your unending love, amazing grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again for your presence. We thank you again for your word. Now we thank you again, O Lord, that you are with us, not against us, that you are for us. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we receive your word. into our hearts today, O God, and we act upon your word. We activate it. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we leave here, Lord, we ask you to go with us, Lord. May your spirit continue to marinate your word in our own hearts, to water it until it brings forth fruit. Lord, we thank you, God, for your leading us from victory unto victory, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. Lord, we thank you for the increase, the accelerating of your promises, oh God, into our lives. We thank you. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.